Welcome to the Satellite Evolution Global Podcast Series, where we explore all things satellite. In this episode, we will take a deep dive into the problem of space debris. Let's get on with it. So, over to you, Hannah and Robert.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this deep dive. We are going to be talking about something pretty fascinating today. We're going to be tackling space junk.
Ooh, space junk.
Yeah, it's something. I've been wanting to get a handle on this for a while, and I think it's a growing problem that we all need to be more aware of.
Absolutely.
So we've got some great articles from experts at places like Intelsat and NASA, and some reports from organizations like the UK Space Agency and the World Economic Forum.
Really cool. Very cool.
Yeah. And I think by the end of this, you're really going to understand not only why this is a big deal for everyone, you know, not just astronauts, but also what we can actually do about it.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating how many people don't realize just how much we rely on space tech in our daily lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we take it all for granted.
We do. GPS, internet, weather forecasting.
What I know.
All of it relies on a delicate balance of technology orbiting above us.
Yeah, it's all invisible, right? Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
But one of our sources, Joe Chan over at Intelsat, he lays out this really chilling scenario. Just imagine, like, a world where all the satellites suddenly stop working.
Oh, wow.
Like, no more GPS. Your internet goes down. Weather forecasts become completely unreliable.
Oh, that's scary. And, you know, it goes way beyond just inconvenience. We're talking about critical infrastructure failures.
Yeah, yeah.
Financial systems, transportation, emergency services.
Yeah, Chan paints this picture of communication breakdowns, power grids going down. The economy could just be thrown into total chaos.
Yeah.
It's like one satellite falling out of the sky could trigger this domino effect that impacts every single aspect of our lives.
It really highlights how interconnected our world is.
Yeah.
And how much we depend on this technology that most of us never even think about.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of what makes the space junk issue so important, right?
Absolutely.
Because the more junk we have up there, the higher the chances of something going wrong.
Yeah, collisions, damage to vital satellites. It's a real concern.
And so here's where I think things get really mind-blowing. Do you remember Sputnik?
Oh, Sputnik 1.
Sputnik 1 launched back in 1957. I mean, it kicked off the space age.
Yeah, it did. It's a landmark achievement.
It was.
But... it also marked the beginning of our space junk problem.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about it. Every single launch since then has added to this giant pile of debris that's just orbiting our planet. You know, spent rocket stages, old satellites.
Fragments from collisions.
Even flecks of paint.
It's unbelievable. And the numbers are just staggering.
Oh, tell me about it.
The European Space Agency, they estimate that there are over 1 million pieces of debris larger than a centimeter.
Wow.
And are you ready for this? A mind-boggling 131 million pieces in total.
You know, that's actually more space junk than I can see stars on a clear night.
It's a sobering thought.
It is. And here's the kicker, right?
Sure.
Even if we just stopped all launches tomorrow,
yeah,
the problem would keep getting worse.
That's because all this existing debris is constantly colliding and breaking apart.
It's a chain reaction.
Creating even more debris.
Exactly.
A runaway train, almost.
And that actually brings us to something called the Kessler syndrome. Have you ever heard of that?
I have, yeah. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi thriller, but it's a terrifyingly real possibility.
It does. It does.
It really does.
Imagine a giant game of billiards in space, right?
Okay, I like this.
You break. The balls scatter. And then they just start smashing into each other, creating more and more chaos. That's essentially the Kessler syndrome. It's a cascade of collisions that could make entire orbits completely unusable.
Oh, wow. So it's like a cosmic traffic jam.
That's a great way to put it. A traffic jam with potentially catastrophic consequences.
And we've had some close calls already, right?
We have. In 2007, a Chinese anti-satellite test. They blew up one of their own satellites.
Yeah, I remember reading about that.
Created a massive debris field. And then in 2009, an American and a Russian satellite accidentally collided. Added thousands more pieces to the mix.
It's like playing bumble cars up there.
And it's not a game anyone can win. This debris poses a real threat to the International Space Station, to satellites, and even to future missions.
And it's a jam that's already costing us money, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Satellite operators are constantly having to make these really expensive maneuvers to dodge this debris. It's a constant game of cosmic dodgeball.
And it's not just hypothetical either. This year alone, we saw a toolbox that was lost during a spacewalk and a battery pallet from the International Space Station.
Both of which ended up hitting a house in Florida.
Talk about bringing the issue close to home, right? I mean, it's really scary to think about.
It really emphasizes the fact that this isn't just some abstract problem. It has real-world consequences here on Earth.
Absolutely. So what can we actually do about this? I mean, is there anything we can do?
Well, the good news is, yes. Our sources point to a three-pronged approach. Responsible satellite management, improved space situational awareness, and something called active debris removal.
Okay, those sound pretty good. Let's break those down. So first up, responsible satellite management. What does that actually involve?
Well, it starts with something called designing for demise. Basically, every satellite needs an end-of-life plan.
Got it.
Whether it's deorbiting, which means burning up safely in the atmosphere, or moving to a graveyard orbit, where it's less likely to cause any trouble.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's about being proactive.
So it's not just about launching them up there and forgetting about them.
No, not at all. It's about thinking ahead, planning for the future.
Okay, so that's a good start. But what about this space situational awareness? Does that basically mean like having eyes everywhere in space?
That's a good way to think about it. It's kind of like air traffic control, but infinitely more complex.
Oh boy.
We're talking about tracking millions of objects, some of them tiny, all hurtling around at breakneck speeds. The challenge isn't just seeing them, but predicting their movements and preventing potential collisions.
That sounds like a technological nightmare.
It is a massive undertaking, no doubt about it. But there are some exciting advancements happening.
Oh, good.
For example, there's the Space Data Center, which combines information from multiple sources to give us a more accurate picture of what's happening up there.
So it's like creating a giant real-time map of all the space junk.
Exactly. The more accurate our tracking and predictions are, the better equipped we'll be to avoid those disastrous collisions.
Makes sense. But what about the junk that's already up there? Like, is there any way to actually get rid of it?
That's where active debris removal comes in.
Mm.
And this is where things get really futuristic. We're talking about cutting-edge technologies designed to capture and remove existing debris.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of tech are we talking about?
One really fascinating example is laser ablation.
Laser ablation?
Yeah, it's being researched at West Virginia University. They're exploring using powerful lasers to nudge debris out of orbit.
Lasers, that sounds straight out of Star Wars.
It does, doesn't it? But it's becoming a reality. And then you have companies like Astroscale and ClearSpace that are developing capture systems.
Oh, like what?
Think robotic arms and even magnetic capture mechanisms.
Wow. So it sounds like we're entering a new era of space cleanup. Are there any success stories yet?
There are. Astroscale, which is a Japanese company, successfully tested their magnetic capture system. And ClearSpace, a Swiss company, they're actually partnering with the European Space Agency to remove a rocket part from orbit.
That's pretty awesome. It's incredibly encouraging to see all these innovative solutions emerging, but it sounds like a massive undertaking, right? I mean, is there enough global cooperation to really make a difference?
That's the million-dollar question, and we'll dive into that more in the next part of our deep dive. We'll explore the economic and political challenges of tackling this problem and really take a closer look at some of these promising solutions.
Okay, sounds good. I'm ready for more.
Satellite Evolution Global Podcast Series is sponsored by Proactive International PR, one of the leading global technology and marketing agencies that delivers integrated communications campaigns.
Okay, so we're back and ready to sort of like dig a little deeper into the economic and political realities of space debris. When we're talking about the costs of this problem, I mean, it's not just about those like fancy satellite maneuvers we talked about, is it?
No, you're absolutely right. Those maneuvers, you know, as space gets more crowded, they become more frequent,
right?
More complex,
yeah,
and a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
It eats into the mission budgets. It can even shorten the lifespan of the satellites.
And I bet that has all kinds of ripple effects, right? Like if the satellite operators are facing these higher costs, doesn't that mean we all end up paying more for things like internet access, satellite TV?
Precisely. And, you know, it's not just about higher prices. Imagine you're a startup.
Okay.
With a brilliant idea for a new space-based application. The escalating costs and the risks that are associated with operating in a debris-ridden environment, yeah, that might make them think twice.
So it's almost like space junk is creating like a barrier to entry. It's making it harder for new players to even get into the game.
Yeah, and then there's the whole issue of insurance. Insuring a satellite, I mean, it's already no walk in the park.
Yeah.
But as the risk of collision goes up, so do those premiums.
So it's just a financial headache for like everyone, from the companies that are launching the satellites to us, you know, the everyday users down here on Earth.
Yeah. And the costs go beyond just like dollars and cents. Think about the potential for lost revenue if a critical satellite gets damaged or destroyed.
Oh, sure.
You know, we rely on these things for communication, navigation, Earth observation. The economic fallout from a major disruption could be massive.
Oh, yeah. It's like a domino effect, potentially impacting global trade, financial markets, even national security.
Absolutely.
Hmm. And that actually kind of brings us to the political side of this problem, right? I mean, space junk, it's not just a scientific or an economic issue.
Yeah.
It's also a geopolitical one.
You're absolutely right. It's a global problem that needs a global solution.
Exactly.
You know, no single country created this mess.
Yes.
And no single country can clean it up alone.
Right. It demands international cooperation, which I imagine is a lot easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely. Especially with all the geopolitical tensions that we see in the world today.
It's like trying to get everyone to agree on the rules of the road when they're all driving different vehicles and speaking different languages.
That's a great analogy.
Right.
You know, and our sources highlighted a couple of incidents that really underscore this challenge. Back in 2007, when China conducted that anti-satellite test and blew up one of their own satellites.
Yeah, I remember that.
It created this massive debris field.
Yeah, it sparked a lot of international outrage, if I remember correctly.
It absolutely did. It was a stark reminder that what one country does in space can have consequences for everyone.
Right.
And then in 2009, we had that accidental collision between an American and a Russian satellite.
Oh, yeah, adding even more debris to those already crowded space lands.
Exactly. And these incidents just really highlight the urgent need for clear rules in space, for responsible behavior, and for greater transparency between nations.
Yeah. And speaking of all that, you know, we were talking earlier about how space is becoming increasingly commercialized. We've got all these private companies launching their own satellites these days. How does that impact the whole, like, governance issue?
Well, it adds a whole new layer of complexity.
You
know, now you're not just dealing with nation states. You've got these private companies with their own agendas and priorities.
It's a whole new kind of space race.
It is.
Yeah.
And figuring out who sets the rules and then who enforces them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a major challenge.
Right. It raises these big questions about responsibility, like who cleans up the mess?
Right.
Who decides what sustainable practices even look like? Who makes sure that everyone is actually playing by the rules?
Yeah, those are the tough questions that we're grappling with right now.
And so, you know, you mentioned earlier that one of the potential solutions is this active debris removal.
Yeah.
And, you know, while it sounds like a great idea in theory, I imagine there are probably some ethical considerations that come along with, you know, actually trying to clean up space, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's a really important point.
Yeah.
And it's something that's generating a lot of discussion. One of the big concerns is what's called dual use technology. And what that means is that, you know, some of the tech that we could use to capture and remove debris could also be used for, you know, military purposes.
So you could use that same technology to disable or even destroy other countries' satellites.
Exactly. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. And then you have the whole issue of ownership and control.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to decide what debris gets removed? What if a private company removes a piece of debris that belongs to another country?
Could that be seen as an act of aggression?
Absolutely.
Or even like spark an international incident?
Those are definitely issues that need some very careful consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the whole question of cost. Active debris removal is not cheap.
Right.
Who pays for it? Should it be the countries or the companies that created the debris in the first place? Should it be some kind of shared global responsibility?
And even if we can figure out who pays for it, you know, there are still the potential for unintended consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, what if a mission to remove debris goes wrong and it actually creates even more debris?
Absolutely.
Or what if it accidentally damages a working satellite?
Those are very valid concerns. Active debris removal is a complex operation.
Yeah.
And the risks are high. And, you know, some experts actually argue that being able to clean up space might make some countries less careful about what they leave behind in the first place.
Oh, it's like knowing that you have a cleaning service coming every week. You might be a little bit less tidy around the house.
That's a great way to put it. So as you can see, it's a complex ethical landscape with a lot of competing interests and potential pitfalls that need to be considered very carefully.
It sounds like this whole space junk problem requires this delicate balance of technological innovation, international cooperation, and some serious, like, ethical reflection.
It does. It's a multifaceted problem.
Yeah.
And finding the right solutions requires a multifaceted approach.
We've uncovered a lot to think about.
You have.
But in all this, like doom and gloom, is there any hope? Are there any bright spots out there?
There are actually quite a few. In the final part of our deep dive, we're going to shift gears and we're going to explore some of the promising initiatives that are underway right now to promote sustainability and responsible behavior in space.
Okay, I'm ready for some good news.
Satellite Evolution Global Podcast Series is sponsored by Proactive International PR, one of the leading global technology and marketing agencies that delivers integrated communications campaigns.
All right, so we're back, and after all that kind of doom and gloom, I think we're ready for some good news. Give me some reasons to be optimistic about this space junk situation.
Well, there actually are quite a few. It's easy to kind of get bogged down in the challenges, but our sources highlight a number of initiatives and trends that are really encouraging. I mean, for starters, there's a growing awareness of the problem, you know, both within the space community and I think among the general public.
Right. And that's got to be the first step, right?
It is.
If people aren't even aware that there's a problem, they're not going to be motivated to fix it.
Exactly. And we're actually seeing that awareness translate into action. Remember those shorter deorbit guidelines?
Yeah.
That's a major shift toward, you know, more responsible satellite management.
It's like taking out the trash more often so it doesn't pile up and stink up the place.
A very earthly analogy.
Yeah.
But it gets the point across. And it's not just about guidelines. You know, organizations like ESA, NASA, the UK Space Agency, they're developing these comprehensive sustainability guidelines for space operations.
So they're basically setting the standards for, you know, everything from how satellites are designed to how they're disposed of at the end of their lives.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of responsibility, recognizing that space is a shared resource that needs to be protected.
Yeah, and it's not just governments taking the lead here, right? We talked about companies like Astroscale and ClearSpace developing these really incredible debris removal technologies. Are there other private companies stepping up to the plate?
Oh, absolutely. There's a growing number of companies recognizing that there's not only a need for these services, but also a real business opportunity here. It's a whole new market emerging with potential for innovation and entrepreneurship.
So sustainability and profitability, they're not necessarily at odds with each other. You can do well by doing good.
That's the idea. And more companies are realizing that in the long run, sustainable practices can actually boost their bottom line. You know, by reducing the risk of collisions, they can lower insurance premiums, extend the lifespan of their satellites, and ultimately cut costs.
That makes a lot of sense. It's a win-win.
It is.
But, you know, let's be real. Cleaning up space junk, it's not just about good intentions and cool technology. It requires countries to actually work together. And that can be a challenge in today's world. I mean, are there any signs of progress on that, on the international cooperation front?
There are some positive developments. The World Economic Forum, for example, is pushing for something like global space traffic management guidelines. Think of it as air traffic control, but for space.
Wow, that's ambitious.
It is. But it's going to be essential as space gets more and more crowded. It's about coordinating activities, sharing information, and making sure everyone is playing by the same rules. And, you know, there are some signs that world leaders are starting to take this seriously. The G7 recently identified space debris as a major global concern and called for collective action.
So at least it's getting recognized at the highest levels that this is a problem we need to solve together.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
It is. But it's not just about cleaning up the mess that we've already made, right?
Yeah.
It's about making sure that future generations can continue to explore and benefit from space.
You hit the nail on the head. It's about thinking long term. It's about the legacy that we're leaving behind. We need to preserve the space environment for scientific discovery, for technological innovation, and for all the ways that space-based technologies benefit humanity.
So after this deep dive into the world of space junk, what are like the key takeaways that you hope our listeners will walk away with?
Well, first and foremost, this problem is not going away on its own. You know, it's a growing threat to our space infrastructure, to our economies, and potentially even to our way of life.
Yeah, but we're not doomed, are we? I mean, we're not going to be buried under a mountain of space junk.
Definitely not. We have the technology, we have the ingenuity, and increasingly the will to tackle this challenge. The key is to keep the momentum going, to foster collaboration, and to really push for responsible behavior in space.
And that brings us to our final thought-provoking question for all of you listening out there. As space becomes increasingly commercialized with more and more private companies launching satellites, you know, who should bear the responsibility and the cost of cleaning up this existing debris and ensuring these sustainable practices in the future? It's a really important question with no easy answers, but it's one that we all need to be thinking about.
It is. The decisions we make today are going to determine the future of space exploration and utilization for generations to come.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of space junk. It's been fascinating and a little bit scary, but ultimately, I think, hopeful. There's a lot we can do to address this challenge, and we hope you'll continue to explore this topic and stay informed about this evolving issue because the future of space might just depend on it.
That is all for this episode. Until next time, stay connected.